There's a lot to talk about in this on Zayin Amud Aleph, but it's a lot of little pieces, so we'll see how many we get through. The Mishnah, the last Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Makos, tells us, Mishim nigmar dino baruch ubalif neoso bezin ein sos nes dino. A guy had a gemar din, and then he runs away, and then he comes back to that same Bezdin. Bezdin doesn't retry the case. They have to stick with their original verdict, and they carry out the sentence as originally planned. Anytime you have two witnesses come and say, oh, we saw this guy had a Gemar Din, and it was in such and such a Beis Din, and these guys were his Edim, so he gets killed. Good. Those are Makos related topics. About a Gemar Din, we're talking about Edim Zom, and good, that makes sense. Then the Mishnah sort of like veers a little bit. The Mishnah tells us, Sanhedrin noheges ba'aretz uvechutz la'aretz. We established Sanhedraos both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Sanhedrin are reges achad b'shavua nikreis chavlanis. A Sanhedrin that kills once every Shemitah cycle is called a violent Sanhedrin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, yeah, even if he kills once every 70 years, it's called a violent Sanhedrin. Rabbi Tavim, Rabbi Kiva, omrim ilu hayinu b'Sanhedrin lo neragad me'olam. If we would have been in the Sanhedrin, no one ever would have gotten killed. Once every 7 years, please. Once every 7 years, no way. Never. No one ever would get killed. He says, nice, then there would have been more murder in Klal Yisrael. Because if you would never kill anybody, there are no repercussions to anyone's actions. So it's not going to help anybody. That's going to hurt people. You think you're being nice. You think it's a rachmanus. It's not a rachmanus. It would only hurt people. There's a lot to talk about, like I mentioned. First, just Pashut reading of the, Pashut is what's going on over here. If you're learning Mishnayos Makos, you expect a little bit of discussion about Edim Zomim, about a Gemar Din. The second half of this Mishnah, where does it belong? The second half of this Mishnah? In Sanhedrin. That a Sanhedrin should be established here, a Sanhedrin should be established there. How often a Sanhedrin kills. Those are Sanhedrin topics. Those aren't Makos topics. The Aruch Lener explains that Eino Chinami, it doesn't really belong here in the Mishnah. It belongs in Sanhedrin, where we talk about all the laws of a Sanhedrin. So why is it mentioned over here? Because there are two statements in the Mishnah prior to the discussion of Sanhedrin, and those two statements are soser each other. How so? The Gemara raises the question right off the bat. The Gemara says, "L'tnei also based in Hudein Sosrin, L'tnei based in Acher Sosrin." The implication of the first line of the Mishnah is that the same Beisdin is not going to revisit the case, but another Beisdin may undo the psak of the original Beisdin. But then Hatani Sefer Kol Malkum Sheyam Dushnayim V'Yomer Midin Onish Esish Ploni Shenigam Mardinim Beisdin Ploni 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 Edav Arizin Erag. Then the second line says that even if you go to a different Beisdin, if someone testifies what happened in the first Beisdin's psak is binding. The second Beisdin can't do anything about it. So the first line says that the first Beis Din has to stick with its own psak, but a second Beis Din can undo the psak of the first Beis Din. And then the second line of the Mishnah says that no Beis Din can undo the psak. It's a stira, asks the Gemara. So what's the Gemara's answer? Amar Rabbi Lo Kasha, Kan Beretz Yisrael, Kan B'chutz La'aretz. It depends where these Batei Din are. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, B'chutz La'aretz. And the way the Gemara explains is you can reopen a case if the first Beis Din was a Chutz La'aretz and now you're in Eretz Yisrael because the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael could be Matzil. And maybe you'll find a Pesach Zechus for the guy because it's in Eretz Yisrael now. But you can't reopen a case if the first Beis Din was in Eretz Yisrael, the second Beis Din was a Chutz La'aretz. That you can't reopen. That's the Gemara's answer. So says the Aruch Lener very, very simply, it could be the reason we talk Sanhedrin topics is because the specific Sanhedrin topic we talk about is where you should have Sanhedros. And it's critical to know that there needs to be a Sanhedrin in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael in order to be able to answer the stira in the first two lines of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah is setting us up for the answer to the stira. So it's not just Tam, a random din in Sanhedrin. Doesn't tell us how many judges you need over here. We're not just picking a random din in Sanhedrin. We're picking the din that's going to be the key to unlock the first half of the Mishnah. So that's just a ha'ara that the Aruch Lener has. What about the last line? that a Sanhedrin that kills this often or that often, that it's called a violent Sanhedrin, what does that have to do with anyone? With anything? The Iyun Yaakov explains that it's also a Hemshech. Because what do we say? Someone has a Gemar Din and he runs away and he comes back to the same base and ain't Sosun as Dina. So maybe he's telling us that even if it's the same Beis Din, and that Beis Din already, meaning even if it's a Beis Din, regardless of where the Beis Din is, even if it's a Beis Din that already paskin the Misa for somebody during that Shemitah cycle or during that generation, the Beis Din should still not be Sosa the Din of the guy who comes to them and refuse to kill him. Oh, we don't want to be called a Chavlanis. So saying Afal Pikein, the halacha, the ratio of the Mishnah still applies, even though we generally do look askance and we do look negatively at those batidin, those sanhedros that kill a little too often. But that shouldn't play a role in the halacha of an escaped fugitive. We still have to deal with the escaped fugitive properly. But I wanted to focus on a little more is that last line. So Sanhedrin kills once every 70 years is considered a chavlanis. 7 years, everyone knows the 70. People don't know the other two shitas. The 7 years are ever. So I want to focus on that three-way machlokas. The Chazon Ish has an interesting comment in a letter in the Igros of the Chazon Ish, where he tries to describe why it is that killing would happen in a Beis Din would happen so infrequently. I mean, doesn't that take all the teeth out of it? If you can never ever kill someone in a Sanhedrin, so what's the point of having a Chiyuv Misa in the first place? Why do we have a Chiyuv Misa if we never plan on implementing it? In fact, yeah, we'll get to this later, but why do we have a Chiyuv Misa? So there is a comment that the Notes of Yehuda has in Madura Kama Simin Lamed Hei. I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at it this morning. Very famous tshuva of the Notes of Yehuda. The Notes of Yehuda discusses, if I say the story, you'll remember it. It's the case of the fellow, the young yeshiva bachur, who's a tremendous, tremendous masmid, and he was put up at someone's house. He boarded at someone's house in the community where the yeshiva was. And years later, he became engaged to their daughter, to the daughter of the family that he stayed by. And he just had one little skeleton in his closet that he had an ongoing affair with the mother of the girl he's engaged to for several years. Little detail. So he wanted to know, does he have to tell the shver? Does he have to tell his father-in-law? Kavod HaBrios, it's going to be very embarrassing to him, very embarrassing to the whole family, that such a scandal is going to break. But on the other hand, the father-in-law is asura to his wife, is asura to his wife. His wife is asura to him, because a woman cheats on her husband, she's asura labal. Does he have to tell the father-in-law? Is the father-in-law even obligated to believe him? Does he have to go to Beis Din, embarrass himself publicly? Very, very fascinating tshuva. He has a very extraordinary analysis of machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam in Brachos Daf Yates and the sugya of Kavod HaBrios. And that's the first half of the tshuva. And the second half of the tshuva is, how do I do tshuva for this? How many fasts? How much rolling around in the mud, being whipped, or whatever. I don't know. How do you do a Tshuvas HaMishkal for this? So the Navi says, Tshuvas HaMishkal, I think you're a little beyond the Tshuvas HaMishkal. He says, he writes a Lashon, V'lo yaspiku lo shnos misushelach l'mispar atainios for Tshuvas HaMishkal. If you lived as long as misushelach, I don't think you would have enough days to fast to equal out, you know, the proper tshuva. But he says, lucky for you, that's not really how we do tshuva. We do tshuva with charata. We do tshuva with azivas hacheit. So leaving aside what he advised him in terms of telling the shver, he said, you should tell the shver, but not do it publicly, do it privately, and then the guy doesn't even have to get divorced because he's a zaken and he has no yetzer hara for his wife anymore, so he's just not going to sleep with his wife, but he doesn't have to get divorced, and that way it can be kept private, no one will have to know about it, and there won't be a pagam in the covenant of brios of the family. But you'll have to suffer the embarrassment of telling the shver. Fine. Then he starts to talk a little bit about tshuva. And he writes, El Shomer Ani,
Davra Ma'akiv B'tshuva. Rak Davra Tafel B'tshuva.
This whole issue of how many fast days, and there are never enough days to fast enough for what you need to do, that's only if fasting were really important to tshuva, but really it's not. Fasting is very secondary. V'ikra tshuva hu azivas chet, vidoi dvarim b'leiv nishbar, charata b'leiv shalem, hiskarvus v'slavus leo v'saborei. To actually return to Hashem. Leave your avera, say vidoi, have a broken heart, have excitement to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fasting, the suffering, that's really secondary. And he says, I'll prove it to you. V'teda. Hareza bilti safik shatshuva mechaperes kapara gemura. V'davrza meforsim b'torah b'neviyim v'ksuvim. He says, it's obvious that tshuva is a mechaper, and that's clear in all of Tanakh. U'b'shnei ha-talmudim b'kolam medrashim. He says, in all of Tanakh, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashim, it's clear, tshuva works and tshuva is a kapara. Nadvido often in his tshuva says, I don't know about a lot of other things, but I could tell you what it says in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tanakh, Midrashim. In this tshuva, this very tshuva, someone says, "What? How do we do a tshuva samishkal, this and that?" He says, I don't know, that doesn't appear in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tanakh, Midrashim. That's not my expertise. I really don't like to answer these kinds of questions. In his famous tshuva about L'Shem Yichud, about what the text is of L'Shem Yichud, someone asked him, he says, text of L'Shem Yichud doesn't appear in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrashim, Tanakh. I don't know about these things. All I know is, you know, Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't know the other stuff. But he writes, obviously, tshuva is a mechaper. V'gam ze ein safik bo b'zman she Sanhedrin ha-yanoi, g'mavar al chayavim Yisus Beis Din, achar asra, afim sho eidim v'lo bo l'beis din shonim rabos, ubein kachos ze tshuva. He says, imagine, a guy doesn't have era. He doesn't have era for which he's chayav misa. He had asra, eidim, everything. But the eidim didn't come to Beis Din. So he's off the hook now because the eidim never showed up. Great. And he starts living his life and he starts to think, you know, I really shouldn't have been mechal Shabbos. And he does tshuva, he becomes a bal tshuva. Tshuva shleima, lev nishbar, broken hearted. Aziva sachet, kabbalah lo asid, everything. And then years later, Eidim show up to Beis Din and they say, we saw this guy be mechal Shabbos years ago. So what's the halacha? And the guy suffered, sigufim, tainios, lain mispar, yoser, yoser, mi tshuva samishkal and iskar barokeach. More than the tshuva samishkal that the rokeach recommends. V'shuv, achar kol ha-tshuva bo Eidim le-Beis Din, and then the Eidim show up to Beis Din v'yidu. So do we say, no, the guy did tshuva, he's a Rosh Shiva now. He did tshuva. Havadai she'en ha-Beis Din mashkichin al tshuvaso. V'sorfin v'solkin l'v'yon ha-shachet. If he's chayv streifa, he's chayv streifa. If he's chayv skila, he's chayv skila. Forget about the tshuva. V'atover yifla, kivin shavadai sha-tshuva u'ilu, kvar sor avono v'chatoso n'schapra. Tshuva works. His avera, he already had a kapara. Lama yumas v'naki v'tzadik al tarog siv. Why would he die? Shteit in pasuk naki v'tzadik al tarog. He's a naki. He's a tzadik. He did tshuva. Ubehed yamur b'reish eluin alokin. Chayav imisol sasa tshuva ein bezin mochelin lo. Elavada gzeres hakasavu. We have to punish anyway. Now here's what he says. Why? She'il malei kein. Because if we don't punish a guy, Batlu on Shei Torah b'chlalan. Then all the punishments of the Torah will be useless. Ve'en adam shimas be'Beis Din. No one will ever die in Beis Din. Ki yomar chatasi v'inan yishav. Because anyone who's ever on trial will say, yeah, don't worry, that was me. It's true. But I did tshuva since then, so I'm good. Have a nice day, everybody. You can go home early today. And then he'd be off the hook, and then everyone, and then there would be no Mises Beis Din at all. Since God wanted to give an onesh misa on certain averos, now here's the key words that I wanted to focus on. Why does God want to give misa? What's he trying to accomplish? He just likes to kill people? Why? So that a person would be afraid to do the averos. If he knows in the back of his mind that he might get killed for this, we'll give him some pause and maybe he won't do the Avera in the first place. It's a deterrent. That's why tshuva can't help from Mises Beis Din. So he says, if you think tshuva's hamishkal is the ikar in tshuva, So then what we should have been given, the Moshe Misinai, is the Mishkal, is, you know, the tiniest, the Siguf, from all that. Why doesn't Tshuva help from Mises Beis Din? Onshe Mises Beis Din are still there. Because a guy suffers, Lefi Mishkalo. You know, he does all of the things that it says in the Rokeach, fasting, rolling around in the snow. L'chora, you could say, okay, there's no fooling, he did it. So why don't we have that? Because that's not the Ikar of Tshuva. That's not what it's all about. But it's interesting. He assumes that the purpose of Mises Beis Din is to deter someone from doing an Aveira in the first place. But that's what Mises Beis Din is all about. That a person won't want to do the Aveira in the first place. If that's the point, if it's a deterrent, it's a really lousy deterrent, no? Why do I say it's a really lousy deterrent? What does it say in our Mishnah? We don't kill anybody anyway. Once every 7 years, maybe you'll be a little afraid. If it's once every 70 years, no one's going to be afraid. And if it's never, obviously no one's going to be afraid. So if it's a deterrent, it's very hard to understand. What kind of deterrent? Rav Moshe has a tshuva, I've mentioned many times. Chosh Mishpat Chelek Beis Simen Samachas. As far as I'm aware, the only tshuva written to a guy in all of Igros Moshe. Malus kvod sara medina hanichbad v'achavev aleinu ma'od yarech Hashem yisbaruch yom v'shnosu m'mshalto b'tovu v'ni'imin. Dear Governor, roughly translated. He was, the governor asked him, the governor of the state of New York asked him if what we think about killing people, about capital punishment. V'ata hashiv b'ktzara, I skipped a little part, he gives him a bracha. The truth is, our Torah does have Misa. It does prescribe Misa for some very, very severe averos. Vodazara, killing, things like that. And he describes, what does a Vodazara mean? Moshe catches himself a little bit. He says, "What's up with Zara?" It means Shul Shemesh Uliareach Uleitzu Laavnu Chodom Shasu Mufkar Lasus Kol Mashab Libo Mimine Nivolus Vachzaria Shabiolam Sheyivadu Arishayim Lutovas Atzman. It means that people who bow to like stones and whatever, and therefore they just have this total sense of freedom that they can do whatever they want, and therefore it will be total chaos in society. Avaloa Yazem Mitzad Sina Laosei Dvar Haro Mitzad Yira Lekiu Maolam. But Chiyuvei Misa is not to keep kiyum ha'olam, and it's not there because we hate people. Dalze isa b'gemara, that's what the Gemara says, but mitzia pegimel and beiz, yavo bala kerem yichal es kotzeb. Let the bala kerem come, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the Amora who became the police officer to catch all the ganavim, based on why they were tired early in the morning. You know, looking at the guys who were tired and who didn't have a reason to otherwise be tired, must have been they were up all night being ganavim and he would arrest them. I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm saving all the, I'm getting rid of all the criminals. Yavo balakerem. Let the balakerem, let the owner of the vineyard come and take the thorns out of the vineyard. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that. Elusha yedu ha'inshi chomeri surim elu v'lo yavrol zeh. Why do we have chiyuvei misa, says Rav Moshe? It's not to keep society running, and he explains, because it wouldn't work. We never actually kill people. To meet the standard of evidence that you need in order to kill someone, it's come out impossible. We do it because we want people to know how serious the averos are. And we have an emphasis on the importance of each life. And he goes through all the things that you require to be done in the Sanhedrin. He says it's pretty much impossible for us to kill somebody. So what's the point, Rav Moshe says? Why do we have Chiyuvei Misa? Not because it's going to deter anyone from doing an Aveira. In the classical sense that, oh no, I'm afraid that's going to happen to me, so I better not do the Aveira. It shows me how serious the Aveira is. When I'm in third grade and I'm learning that when you're Mechal Shabbos, you're Chayiv Misa, I'm going to say, wow, Chil Shabbos must be really bad. Not that I'm afraid I'm going to get killed for it, but I understand that this is an Aveira that's really, really bad. Yeah?
Is there a Gemara or something that says
No, it doesn't say that. It says you should treat them the same way. But
right.
I mean, you should treat them. You should be as havizar b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. She ato yodeh matan schar and shel mitzvahs. We don't know what the schar of a mitzvah is, but throughout Shas, we always assume by an avera that which has a more severe punishment is a more chamur avera. That's the way we test the avera. I was very excited to learn. I saw in this Biurei Hadaf pamphlet that I used to get for the Daf Yomi, he quotes a letter from the Chazon Ish where he says, Mamish like Rav Moshe, with a little more detail. He talks about when a young child is learning about the punishments that we give for people who do all sorts of things. He says, Etzem kviyas ha'on shemaf below hafalasam. Just having these punishments, even though we don't actually do them, yasus pripulasam linikayan amidos, helps us become better people, even though we never actually carry them out. Says, because when we learn about how terrible Chil Shabbos is, we become disgusted by Chil Shabbos. We become disgusted by the averus which a person deserves to die. Not that we're afraid we're going to die if we do it, but we develop the proper attitude toward these behaviors. Nimtza pu'ulas ha'onash begimel drachim. So the punishment works in three ways, says Chazon Ish. Number one, b'yiras onsho. It could be that there's a little bit of fear of actually getting the onesh. But number two, b'yadiyas ha'onesh, in knowing about the punishment. And number three, b'limud b'sefer ha'mishpatim es charitzas mishpato. Learning in a book of laws how important it is, how important the mitzvah is. He says that's why it's a davar pashut shechak onesh nefesh lahorig nefesh memayit esaritzicha. Having a chiyuv misa for someone who murders makes murder less frequent, and is mekayim harbe nefashos. Not because people think they're going to get killed if they kill, but because people realize this is really bad. And as opposed to if the punishment were something very light, people would take it much more lightly, and it would end up costing a lot more lives. So if people think, says the Chazon Ish, that it's barbaric, capital punishment is barbaric, and it shows that we don't value human life, says, to the contrary, it saves human lives. Because if people appreciate how serious the avera, how severe the avera is, then they'll commit that crime that much less frequently, and therefore, ultimately, in the end of the day, it's going to save human lives. So Chazon Ish says, mamish like Rav Moshe. Right, against what the Nadi Yehuda says. I don't know how to make sense of that Nadi Yehuda. It's actually going to be something a person is going to be afraid of it actually happening in light of our sugya. Another critical point that Ramesh also says a tshuva about in our sugya is what the Gemara says at the end, and then we'll go back and discuss some of the other things. And I'm not really sure how to be magdir this either. But the Gemara talks about Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tafram were bragging in the Mishnah that no one would ever get killed if they were on the Sanhedrin, right? So what does it mean? Heichu avu avdi, the Gemara asks at the end in the first wide line, what would they do exactly to make sure that no one ever gets killed at the Sanhedrin? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar Damri Tarvayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar both say, they would say, Re'isim trefar ekshalei marag, did you see if the victim was a trefa or not? Because if the victim is a trefa, then they're not chayv misa. And no one can know if the victim is a trefa. How would you ever know if the victim is a trefa? Amar Ravashi, even if you do an autopsy afterwards, after the murder, and you say, no, there was nothing wrong with him, he was perfectly healthy. Yeah, maybe exactly where the guy stabbed him or shot him, maybe he already had a hole in that part of his body and he was already a trefa, and you don't know, could be. So, what would they do if a guy was bowl and erva? How would you get that guy off the hook? People saw it, two of them saw, the guy slept with the girl, how would you get him off the hook? We would say, did you really see the actual Maisa Bia in all its gory detail? Or did you just see what looked like Bia? So the Gemara says, obviously you don't see the actual penetration, you don't see the actual Maisa Bia, Kamachal B'Shfaferas, so you can't ever have seen that, and therefore the guy will always get off the hook. In fact, the Gemara, Rabbanan Hechidainim. So how would the Rabbanan ever be done someone the Misa for Arayas? If you never see Kemachal B'Shoferes. Says the Gemara, if you see two people that look like they're doing a Maisa Bia, so it's a Maisa Bia. You don't have to see in all the vivid detail. That's good enough. So first of all, Tosfos raised a very fascinating question, and his answers are very difficult. Tosfos raised the question, what would you say if the guy's an Ovid Avod Zara, the guy's Mechal Shabbos? We only discuss if he's Chayiv Misa for murder, if he's Chayiv Misa for Arayos. Okay, so you'll never be able to see the Arayos. Murder, you're never going to know if the victim was a Trefa. How about if the guy's Chayiv Misa for any of the other million things that you're Chayiv Misa for in the Torah? How about the guy's Mechal Shabbos? How are you going to get that guy off the hook? How can we say no one ever would have gotten killed? Every Michal Shabbos would have gotten killed still. So he says, Vieshlomer de Mikol Makum Kamer Shaper Lo Yadam Nerag Mishum Dol Shchichi Kulei Hai Ki Im Verotzeach V'arayos. First answer, I should have no Havan. He says, no one's Michal Shabbos. People kill, people do Arayos, but no one's Michal Shabbos. Never happens. What that means. There weren't Mechal Shabbos. There were no Avdei Avod Zara. Hard to imagine. Nowadays, there aren't that many Avdei Avod Zara. Plenty of Mechal Shabbos. I don't know what that means. V'od Yesh Lomar, Di'ikal Meimar Re'isam Shemechal Eino Trefa, Di'im Hu Trefa, Im Keinim Tazimim Lo Yuchayv Misam Shem Dematzal Meimar Gavr Katila Bidin L'Miktal Vav L'Eid Shiat Yachal Azim. Then he says, Harifas. That, it's not only by the case of the murder, it's not only whether the victim is a trefa. What about the criminal himself? Did you know that he's not a trefa? The criminal himself? You don't know that he himself is not a trefa. And therefore, you may be trying to kill a person who's a trefa. And that makes you Eidus Yatiyach Lazima. Because by us killing you, it's not going to be what you tried to do to the other guy, because you were killing a Gavra Katila. You were trying to kill a Gavra Katila, a guy who's already a trefa. Us killing you is killing a Gavra Bar Kayama, not a Gavra Katila. Oh, it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, that would be good enough. Why does it sound that way from the Gemara? Because when the Gemara spoke about the case of murder, the Gemara's whole question was about whether the victim was a trefa. The Gemara could have said by the Arayos case also, not whether Machal B'Shefer is any of that. Could have answered all of them with just that. Was the criminal a trefa? If the criminal is a trefa, forget it. Any capital crime, automatically. You're off the hook, because it's Zayda. So it sounds like the Gemara doesn't accept that second answer of Tosos. Right? The second answer of Tosos doesn't really fit so nicely with the rest of the Gemara. Very hard to understand. I saw in the Sefer, in this Biri Adav, where he asks, why don't we say maybe the Edom are trefas, and therefore you can't use their Edos to kill anybody, because if the Edom are trefas, then it's Edos Shiat Yachal Aziva. Maybe that's the issue. Why don't Tosfos think of that? Why don't we think of that? And that would solve all the problems. If the Edom are trefas, then you can't rely on the Edom, because it's Edos Shiat Yachal Aziva, because whatever you're going to do to people who are Muslim, them is not going to be the same way you tried to do these Edom. No? Or whatever you try to do to the criminals, whatever they try to do to the criminals, not what you're doing to them. So he says that you see from here that even though a trefa that kills somebody is pater, because it's ziyat yachal hazim esedav, but ede trefa are kasher leedus. Even though you can't do the onesh of kasher zamam to them when they become zamamin, because it's only when the goreim of when what causes us not to be able to do kasher zabam is the person that they're testifying about, that's when we say edus shiat yachal azima. But when the chisaron in the possibility of kasher zabam, of the onesh of hazama, is in the edim itself, then the edus works. And that's true by edei trefa. Their edus works even though iyat yachal kayim behem kasher zabam. Because the problem in not being able to do kasher zabam is not in the person they're testifying about, it's in themselves, it's in the Edom. I don't know what the svara would be for such a chiluk. Why is that called Edus She'ata Yachal Azima, whereas if the person they're testifying about is a trefa, it's Edus She'i'ata Yachal Azima? I don't know. That's what he suggests, a chilek. But I was thinking, was reminded that this discussion of kemakol d'shofaris, Rabbi Kim and Rabbi Tarfon say that, what do we do? That we would never kill anybody because no one ever sees it. But what do we do? What do we paskin? Would we kill someone for our rias? Absolutely we would. Why? Because you don't need to see. You don't need to see so clearly. It's good enough even if you don't see 100% clearly. So Rav Moshe in the Tshuva uses this very famous Tshuva. Is it out? Does someone have it? Your day, Chilak Aleph? Oh, it's over there. Is it over there? On the... I have it here? No? I don't know where it went. The motion, very famous tshuva, Chelek Aleph Simon Mem Zayin, and also Mem Ches, uses this Gemara. You know which tshuva this is? You take a look at it. You want to take a look this morning? Can you guess? Yeah, you did?
You didn't get to it?
What tshuva do you think it is? What does this Gemara have to do with halacha l'maisa? Killing people? Maisha was writing practical halacha. Nope, we already did that one. Says Rav Moshe, "B'inyan chalav hakompanias shebe medina senu." What's chalav hakompanias? The milk produced by companies, by large corporations and companies. Chalav hakompanias. Is that a problem of not drinking chalav Yisrael? First halach and Shulchan Aruch, you can only drink chalav that a Jew saw it being milked. That a Jew saw a cow being milked, otherwise you have to be choshesh of chalav of behemoth tmeya is mixed in. So what about if you don't have a Jew that's actually watching, that's actually seeing the milking of the cow? Can you rely on it anyway? Can you drink such milk anyway? You have federal regulations that verify that it was milk, that it was a cow milk. But you don't have a Jew that watches it. So writes Rav Moshe, if they violate and the federal laws and they put in milk of a behemoth tmeya, yei anshu v'gam yaskiru es ha'esek shalahem, they'd be punished and their business would be shut down. The very next tshuva is to a guy who wrote back to him and said, no, they won't. They'll be fined $100. So Rav Moshe said, yeah, that's good enough also. It doesn't have to be that their whole business will shut down. He said, Shalchein vadei mirtasi mila arev. So they're going to be afraid to mix anything in. So what? But the halacha is state in halacha. You need a Jew to see it. I don't care if they're going to be afraid. You need a Jew to see it. Yesh tam gadol lahatir af below shitas aprichadosh mishum de'ikar de'yedia berura hu kari'ia mamish. Knowing something is the same as seeing it. An unbelievable chiddush from Moshe has an unbelievable yisod. That in order to be made about something, you don't have to see it happen, you just have to know for sure that it did happen. Yeah? Prichadosh is a different svara. I think Prichadosh says that... what does he say? I don't remember. Something about like it would lessen the quality of the milk. I don't remember what the Bukhari says.
It's obviously less than a lower standard.
Yeah. Ugedolim is a Isa Taisus Yavamistaf Memhei B'Shem Yesh Mefarshim, just sitting in the Dav Yomi the other day. Gamla din Riyas Bezin Litvilas Ger. Taisus has such a Yesh Mefarshim that the Bezin doesn't even need to see the Tvila of a Ger. If we held like that, it would solve a lot of problems. It's a big uproar nowadays because of a horrible incident in Washington. That Bezin doesn't need to see a tefillah scare. They just have to know that it happens. V'zehu geder anan sa'adi shematzinu b'har be'mekomos. He says, that's anan sa'adi that we have all over the place. And he says, it even works by edus l'kiyum adavar. By kiddushin. What? By kiddushin? What's one thing, edus l'bira adavar, where you just have to verify that something happened. So if you know that it happened, so you can verify that something happened. But edus l'kiyum adavar? How does it work for edus l'kiyum adavar? Ramesh says, it does, because what happens if you have edik kiyuma, the kiddushin, that only see a yichud? Halacha is, heinen edi yichud, heinen edi bia. It's as if they saw the bia. she becomes an Eishes Ish Gemura, someone else sleeps with her, the Chayiv Misa. There's no Tfisas Kiddushin if someone tries to be Mekadish her afterwards. That's enough. And then he goes on to say, V'yesh Yediyah Sha'af Ben Nefashos Nechshav Re'iyah. Sometimes even knowing in Dina Nefashos is considered a Re'iyah. Our Gemara. They didn't see the actual Biyah. Interesting, he says. When it's possible for the Edom to actually see the Maisa, then they have to see the Maisa. But Ritzicha, you need to actually see the Maisa. But when it's lo na'im to have Edom watching the Maisa, for Edom to see Kamachal B'Shofaras, it's really not appropriate to demand that of them, that that's what they have to see, then they don't have to see that. Why? Because even for Dinei Nefashos, Yediyah is the same as Re'iyah. He used our Gemara. Rabbi Freeman told me that someone asked him the other day, it's a good kasha, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Mishnah, I think, that if you see Reuven chasing Shimon into a room and Reuven's holding a knife and he's screaming, I'm going to kill you! And then they run into the room and you walk in a minute later and you see Reuven with a bloody knife in his hand and Shimon dead on the floor, you can't be made that Reuven is Chayiv Misa, that Reuven killed Shimon, because you didn't see Reuven kill Shimon. What about Edi Yediyah? Isn't that called that you know that Reuven killed Shimon? It could be that over there you didn't see the Maisa at all. Whereas in the case of Kedar Chamanafim, you see the Maisa, you just don't see the details that would make it a Chiyuv. Ah, Rav Moshe and the Milk, though, you don't see the Maisa at all. But maybe with Rav Moshe and the Milk, the Maisa, Behechrech, the Maisa had to happen because there's milk there. So a milking had to happen. Maybe the Yediyah then can carry the day that you know that it came from cows. What? Oh, you know that the murder happened. Well, no, the guy could have dropped dead first.
Yeah. He could have stabbed a dead body.
He could have stabbed a dead body, yeah. Guy could have died of it. Guy could have seen the knife, said, oh my God, I just had a heart attack. And then, just to let out his anger. I don't know. So he says, "B'chalav shasarak b'chalav akum v'en yisol reyu yesh lahatir gam b'yisol yodin yediyah berura davi kiri'iyah." How far do you take this? Can you Skype Eidei Kiddushin? It's one of the things on Temin Halacha list, right? Virtual meaning is a different issue. We discussed that, right? But can you Skype Eidei Kiddushin? Is that called Eidei? Is that if all you need is Eidei Yediyah? So why isn't that good enough? Maybe that's Eidus Yediyah. And he says for Kiddushin, you only need Eidus Yediyah. So would that be good enough? I was always under the impression that Eidus Kima Davar has to be different. But Rav Moshe rejects that explicitly. I think in the next Tshuva, the guy says, no, Eidus Kima Davar has to be different. I think he rejects it explicitly. So I'm not sure. All right, that's the other major halacha l'maaseh ramification. Okay, I wanted to look at Tosfos also, but no time today. All right, Baz Hashem, I'm in Vienna Israel next week, and then when I come back, we'll start the second parak, hopefully. Okay, it will be a clean start with the second parak.